Pigeon.
Make Maddie proud. Make Daddy proud.
Don't dye your hair.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Hello, welcome back. Lots of things happened this week. I probably missed important things, and if I did, sorry. we'll talk about it eventually. You can shoot us a message or like at us on Twitter and be like, you didn't talk about this, and I'll be like, yeah, you're probably right. Lots of things happened and I was busy. So first up, we got wellness check. So I guess the Leafs traded for Jared McCann. They traded Philip Hollander that they got from Pittsburgh and a 2023 seventh for Jared McCann. And I when I wrote this, I was like, can you guess where he played in juniors? Can you guess where Jared McCann played in juniors? Any thoughts? It was the Sioux Greyhounds, of course. Who else would it have been? But anyways, and then the Leafs were like, no, we're still going with our 4-4-1 protection list. So we're going to leave Jared available and Alex available and Travis available. And like, those are the three main players that were available for them. Technically also Michael Hutchinson. No one talked about the fact that Michael Hutchinson was exposed. Nobody wants him. Is that what I'm hearing? But anyway, so Seattle took Jared McCann. I understand the move. I don't personally love it because Seattle had a lot of defensemen available to them and a lot of good defensemen available to them. And they could have, I think they could have exposed Justin Hall and risked losing Justin Hall from the Leafs. And I think they still would have, I think that that Seattle would have taken Kerfoot had they exposed Hall, Travis, and Kerfoot. Though I don't know what other forwards you would just shove under the protection list. Because, like, technically Simmons and, like, Spezza were available too, but Spezza was like, literally, I'll just fucking retire. Don't you dare do it. Mm-hmm. I won't. I will not be going anywhere. And, like, Simmons, I don't think, again, was the best value option on the Leafs. But yeah, it's also very weird to me because I was like emotionally prepared to be eulogizing Travis Dermott. I was ready, like, he's not dead, he's just in Seattle now. But that's not true. He's still a Leaf and I love him.
Yep. I was in Boston when the list came out and I was like telling my friends, I was like going through the list and I was telling my friends and I was just like, this is who we think we're gonna lose, like da 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 da. It's gonna be sad times. And then it just didn't.
Yeah. It's actually really nice to lose a player that you don't have an emotional attachment to yet. I feel really good about it. Like, even like losing Alex Kerfoot would have been kind of sad, but like losing Jared McCann, absolutely no feelings. Mm-mm. Like, no feelings.
My friend then, like, after the expansion draft, she asked who it was. She's like, who's Jared McCann? And I was like, just some guy. Like, not, he's like,
some guy.
He never played. We got him about 3 days ago.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Seattle would have been fine with either Kerfoot or Jared McCann. And, like, I think that still makes sense, the move to acquire McCann, because otherwise they would have lost Kerfoot and then had no third line center, which would have been a problem. So, like, you had your bets on that. I think the Leafs would have preferred to keep McCann, but they did not. And also Seattle didn't even, like, some of us were expecting Seattle to take Compher and Kerfoot and then you reunite them. That's different, but they didn't take either, so they're just still separate, I guess. Yeah. Also, the draft was this weekend. It took like 7 hours to do the second to seventh rounds. I didn't watch any of it. I watched a little bit. Did I even watch the first round? No, I didn't. I didn't watch any of it.
I'm not even going to pretend like I tried to watch any of it. I was watching the Olympics.
Yeah, I was watching the Olympics, and then I think they're, like, the TFC was playing last night, so I watched that. Like, was not watching the draft. Also, the Leafs only had 3 picks, so it was even more like, why the hell am I watching this? But from, but anyway, we got some new Suns. We'll talk about the Leafs draft, and we'll talk about the rest of the draft later. So we got some new Suns. And I'm sure I'm going to butcher their names, but I'm going to try really hard. So Matthew Knees, I there's no other way for that to be pronounced. Knees.
Nice.
And a different Matthew from Arizona. Matthew, not Matthews.
When they got him, I got the notification and it said something, 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 comma, Matthew. And I swiped it away, and then I was like, wait a second, this isn't the Austin Matthews? And then I was like, never mind.
No, just a different kid from Arizona. Apparently he's skated with Matthews a couple times, but, like, doesn't really know him. They have the same, like, skills coach they use, though. I don't really know much about him. I think he's kind of tall, like 6'2"-ish. But, yeah, he's a left wing. I guess he's our kid now. That's just how it works.
Yep.
And then there is the Dubas pick. Like, this is a Dubas player. Ty Voigt. Who is an undersized 5'10 forward who seems to, they picked him like 135th overall, but he was ranked in the top 50 for a lot of the draft things. So maybe we stole him because he's undersized. You know, but I don't know. It's the Dubas pick, you know. Also, I just want to talk about, like, there were people getting pissy on Twitter. It was mostly like old men in people's mentions being like, why are the Leafs drafting a defenseman? They need defensemen. First of all, they don't. This is the best decor in my lifetime. I don't even think you could consider, like, the Cabrelet defense better than this defense at the defense part. Like, no, this is the best defense in my lifetime. They don't need any. Also, drafting a defenseman right now, they will not be ready to play in the NHL for like 3 years at least.
I hate when people are like, they need to draft this, they need to draft that. Like, sometimes, yeah, whatever. But most of the time, like, if you're not completely, like, rebuilding your team and you're like, we need players to build around, this is the like, I got the first pick. This is the kid that I'm going to build my team around. They're not going to do crap for years.
No. From the Leafs' perspective, the only thing I think they need is a couple more goalie prospects. And they did take a goalie. We haven't talked about him yet. It was, I am going to try my best. He is Russian. And I'm going to try my best to say his name correctly. I think it's Vyacheslav Peksa. I'm confident in the last name. I think I said the first name correctly. I did look at this for several minutes yesterday trying to pronounce it. I was like taking my time. I was like, I know I'm going to need to say this tomorrow. I got to make sure I say it right. So they got Peksa, who is actually a teammate of another Leafs prospect, Artur Akhtemov. I think I missed a syllable there. Akhtemov? Sure. Him. That Artur from last right. year. That they got last year. So they're on the same team together. So I think that's probably good. I don't know. It's like a late round goalie pick. This is all gambling. So it is what it is. Anyway, 3 new Suns. I don't think I saw any of their faces. I genuinely don't know what any of them look like.
I'm only looking at their Twitter pictures and not their Twitter pictures, but whatever the Leafs put out. That's all.
All right. Yeah. But the Leafs did go away from their normal pattern. There are no Sioux Greyhounds. There are no Swedes.
Yeah.
Or Finns.
Yeah.
But they were really. They were really also rolling. Only 3 picks. So, like, you know, give or take there.
And then you've got to take what you can.
because the people who didn't get drafted, sometimes the Marlies will just sign them. So we'll see. There's still time for there to be Sioux Greyhounds fins are timed. I think that's it for Leafs for now. We will probably come back to it because that's just who we are. So the first thing that happened was just like really quiet. No one's really talked about it since, but Miro Heiskanen has re-signed for 8 years at $8.45 million with Dallas. That's like a good deal for a defenseman like that. Like, I think that'll still be valuable in 8 years. And he's a good, I was going to say he's a good goalie. Oh man.
Yep.
I literally said defenseman a second ago and I'm like goalie. I think it's because I looked at Aiden Hill. His name is right below and I'm like, he's a goalie. Anyway, but yeah, I think that'll be a good deal for Dallas down the line. I don't know. He might have had some no moves in there. I don't keep track of that stuff. Either way. And then some pre-expansion draft trades. And that, we'll talk about a few pre-expansion draft trades. And then we will talk about how the Flyers made like five different trades. So pre-expansion draft trades, whereas Aiden Hill to San Jose with a seventh for a dude that Arizona can expose in the draft, like a goalie that they has enough experience to be exposed, and a second round pick this year. Literally no comment on that other than Arizona seems to be getting rid of their goalies, which seems very odd because they had three, like basically a goalie tandem, but like there were three of them because Darcy Kemper kept getting hurt. Or actually all of them kept getting hurt. It wasn't just Darcy Kemper, but like Darcy Kemper is a free agent and is likely to sign elsewhere, and Aiden Hill, and then they just have, what's his name? Why can't I think of his name? I know it. Antti Raanta.
That guy.
So I think they'll just have him left. Which seems odd because you do need another goalie during the season. Like, you still have to play NHL games. They know that, right? Like, they're not just paying salaries. We'll get to that a little bit later, too. And then Dallas traded Jason Dickinson to Vancouver for a third round pick. Well, it's Jason Dickinson's RFA rights. But, like, it's kind of surprising that they'd want to get rid of him. He's done very well. And I think he was kind of he wasn't a super high draft pick either. Like, I don't think he was in the first two rounds. So it's kind of weird that he's done so well. And they're like, nah, we don't need him. We'll trade him to Vancouver. Not that Vancouver signed him yet, though. That's their own problem. And then the first biggest trade, there were like four different big trades this week. It was busy. I just had to keep refreshing Twitter all day. Like, whenever the rosters froze on Tuesday, I think, or Monday, I was in class. Oh, it must have been Monday because I had an exam on Tuesday. It must have been Monday because I literally was in class the whole time, like just refreshing Twitter. I was like, okay, what's going on? What's happening? And the answer was a lot.
Oh yeah.
So it happened, not the way that we expected, but Nolan Patrick was traded. So Ryan Ellis was traded to the Philadelphia Flyers for Phil Myers and Nolan Patrick, who was immediately basically flipped to Vegas for Cody Glass. So Nolan Patrick couldn't have even been exposed in the expansion draft after that, which was really weird. Also, like, I tweeted it, but like when we said Nolan Patrick had West Coast vibes, we did not mean Vegas. Vegas, no. No, that man has Seattle, Vancouver vibes.
Yes.
Nothing else. Those two. And they traded him to Vegas. Like, yes, he'll look good in the sparkly jerseys. And it is dark, which does fit with his vibe.
Mm-hmm.
However, seems weird to me. I don't like it.
Yeah, no. It seems too not Nolan Patrick. I feel like Vegas is just too
showy. Yeah.
And
Yeah, like it even the team vibes don't make sense to me. Not that I know a ton about the Vegas team vibes, but like it doesn't feel right.
No.
No. That man belongs on the West Coast or literally back in Winnipeg.
I feel like he's just rainy day, coffee shop, wearing glasses, sitting down, scrolling through his phone, people watching, very quiet. That's it.
Seattle, Vancouver.
Yep, that's the life that man it's.
Exactly, exactly. I'm like, but otherwise, that is a good trade. I did, like, see, I tweeted, I'm so sorry, Flyers fans, and people were like, but we won the trade. I'm like, no, I meant, like, emotionally. Like, you lost Nolan Patrick and Phil Myers. Like, emotionally, that's a tough hit. Yes, you got Ryan Ellis, and that is good, and that does bolster your defenseman, which you really need. Yeah, really need, especially if you're getting rid of Phil Myers. But, like, emotionally losing Nolan Patrick, breaking up Nolan Patrick and TK, how is he supposed to be Uncle Nolan? How is he supposed to be Uncle Nolan? I just remembered that TK is gonna have a child.
Why did you just unlock that memory in my brain? I could have gone months without remembering that. Here I am sitting and hanging out thinking about how they lost a couple gingers, but alas, they got a couple gingers back, and you just had them bring that up and wreck my brain. All I was wondering was Ryan Ellis. And I couldn't remember Rosie because this man a ginger. And so
he's
a
pretty Googler. Ginger.
He yeah. is. And so is Cody Glass.
Cody Glass is in Nashville now.
Yeah, I forgot that was.
Yes.
But.
Yeah. Like, Ryan Ellis will be, like, he's a little bit ginger now, but he will be way more ginger by the time the season starts. And, oh, like, yeah. with the jerseys, you know, it brings it out.
Yep.
So they are keeping up their quota. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I was worried for them.
I think, like, literally that was where everyone's head was like, so what about our ginger, what's happening with the gingers? Like,
they just need all of them.
Yeah. And then another trade that Philadelphia made, I don't know if you can call it a trade, but they traded, oh, I didn't even write to who they traded Ghost to. I think it was Arizona. They traded Gostisbehere, a 2022 second and a 2022 seventh to Arizona for nothing. Because apparently we can do for nothing trades now. This just happened this week. And I was like, excuse me? What
like,
is
why
this?
Why would you just give them something? Like, other than a person?
Yeah.
I mean, like, even, like.
I get it's cap space, but also you need bodies.
Also, no, so, like, the trades or the. the picks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's basically like cap space, but it's just like weird. And then they also traded Ristolainen for their first rounder this weekend, Hague, and a 2023 second rounder, which is a lot for Rasmus Ristolainen. Like,
one thing to say.
No, yeah, like, this man isn't that great at defense. He's just big. He's big. He's not great at offense. He's really bad at counting. If we'll recall, he did. This is my favorite thing. Him and Nazem Kadri just yelling at each other in the penalty box. He's like, four more games. And Naz is like, we're playing the fourth right in the first right now.
Didn't he do it again this year? To, like, obviously not at Toronto, but, like, someone else.
I don't know, but like I could just see him like in the penalty box, like the four more games. Oh, that one was so funny. Like, I think Mitch Marner went in after someone. It was a mess. That was a wild game.
Oh, I miss those times. Those are good times.
Yeah.
Those are vibes.
But anyway, Rasmus Ristolainen is a Philadelphia Flyer now. I don't know how they make him Maybe he has to dye his hair. I think he's too blonde for the Flyers. The Flyers aren't really blonde.
No. They're either like
ginger or like brown hair.
Yeah.
Like light or brown dark hair. Brown hair. But no one's blonde.
No.
Yeah.
Other blonde. Than no, why can I remember his name?
I don't know who you're thinking of. You have to give me something. I can maybe come up with a name.
No, because it's going to sound bad.
Is it Oscar?
Yes.
Is he blonde?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay.
He's a Swede.
Yes. That does make sense. Yeah, but still, it's a low number of blondes.
Yeah, I feel like the blonde to everything else, and by everything else, I mean ginger and brunette mostly ratio. Ginger.
Yeah.
I feel like blonde maybe makes up like 2% of it's like, okay, I feel like they have like a couple of blondes, but they're mostly dirty blonde. They don't have like,
yeah, like Carter Hart's like kind of dirty blonde. Yeah. Good hockey analysis coming in here.
Yep.
And then they traded Voracek for Cam Atkinson. Just one for one. I have no analysis on this trade. They are losing someone who is ready to fight the press, though, and I don't know if that's a good thing. But also, Voracek and Laine in Columbus? Oh, the two of them are going to... That's if Laine resigns. That is another thing up in the air, because he did. There was an article that came out this week that said something along the lines of, like, earlier he had said, like, yeah, it was... it wasn't the coaching, and then he said it was the coaching. So I don't know. We'll keep following that story for sure. But yeah, Voracek for Cam Atkinson. I don't know if Voracek is younger or not. He is like a year younger, so not really. Yeah, just a trade. No analysis on that. I think Cam Atkinson is also blonde, so maybe they're just trying to increase the number of blondes.
Maybe.
We're on to your trading strategy there, Chuck Fletcher. We're on to you. I think that's it for the Flyers, but that was like a lot of trades.
Yeah.
A lot of trades. And like Ryan Ellis made good sense. I kind of understand getting rid of Ghost. Ristolainen was horrible. And like if we tried to trade like an actual defense, and like if you tried to trade like Morgan Riley right now, like what would he get? Like two firsts, a pretty good player, and like us 2 seconds, like something ridiculous, because he's much better than Ristolainen overall. But he's not 6'4" and right-handed, which, you know, is a disadvantage, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Flyers went a little crazy this week. The Rangers acquired the UFA rights to Barkley Goodrow from Tampa for a 2022 seventh, and then signed him for 6 years at 3.643. Why did I add the other decimals? All right. Anyway... I think that's pretty good. 6 years seems long. I thought he was old, but I could be wrong. Not old, but like old enough that you don't want to sign someone for 6 years. Yeah, he's 28.
Mm-hmm.
So you maybe don't want to sign him for 6 years, but 6 years is better than like eight. Mm-hmm. It's the little things, right?
Yep.
And then they traded Brett Howden to Vegas for Nick DeSimone, who I'm not even sure is a person. That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's a person. And a 2022 fourth. Basically, it was to make room for being able to play Goodrow, pay Goodrow, which doesn't make sense because Brett Howden is younger. He's only 23 and has more potential. I don't understand that trade at all.
Doesn't make sense to me. But, you know.
Nope. Yeah, it is what it is. The Isles traded Andrew Ladd to Arizona. and a 2021 second, 2022 conditional second, 2023 conditional third for cap space. Apparently that's Arizona's job here is cap space. Mm-hmm. Provide it to me, please. Which really should be Seattle's job. Like, Arizona's getting all the trades that Seattle really should have gotten. Like, if you think about what Vegas did. Very weird. But yeah, like, basically just getting rid of, you know, bad cap space. Mm. Halak and Boston are going to be parting ways. I said Boston. Like, Boston. Like a Boston accent, just about. Mm. I don't know how I did that. It just happened.
Just when you think of them too much, you just adopt it.
I mean, I try not to think about them, and I barely thought about them at all last year. It's very weird. Anyway, so that'll be interesting. That's a good free agent on the market. And I guess they had three goalies, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they did. All right. I don't want to have to think about Boston again, but we're going to have to. They're back in our division.
That's so gross. Why couldn't we have just...
Let me keep the North Division.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't like the Habs either. They're still in our division. It doesn't matter about the Habs. Anyway, on to the expansion draft. A fun list of people exposed to Seattle. I'm not going through everybody, but this is just a fun list. Carey Price, Jonathan Quick, Vladimir Tarasenko, James Van Riemsdyk, Nino Niederreiter, Jason Zucker, Jared McCann, Alex Kerfoot, Mark Giordano, Jacob Voracek, Alex Killorn, Andre Palat, Yanni Gourde, Tyler Johnson, and Brendan Dillon. And if we look at the less fun list of who they picked, I will tell you how many on that list came up. I think it's three. Gourde, McCann, is that it? And Giordano. Three. Of that entire list, they went, yeah, well. But yeah, so the big story there was that the Habs exposed Carey Price in order to protect, what's his name? Jake Allen. I got there. I knew it was a J and an A, but I was not coming up with the right name in my head for whatever reason. Anyway, in order to protect Jake Allen and keep the tandem together. And then Seattle was like, yeah, we're considering it. Even though, like, it's an expensive contract. He makes, like, $10 million. The owners okayed it. We're going to explore it. And then Montreal went, oh, shit. And went, wait, he's injured. Like, he might not even be able to play next year. He's injured. And then just pulled some absolute fucking bullshit after they decided not to pick him, which almost, to me, makes it sound like they didn't know, like, Seattle didn't know that he wasn't going to be that bad. Because he had, I don't know, I thought I wrote it down, but apparently not. He had knee surgery. Oh, it's right there in front of my face. He had knee surgery, like, last week, like, a few days ago, but is expected to play at the beginning of the season. So if I was Seattle, I would have taken that. Like, the same way Vegas took Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, why would you not, one, fucks over the Habs majorly, two, a veteran presence, a veteran netminder who is basically the captain of his team. Yes, Shea Weber exists, but Carey Price is the captain of the team and has been for a long time. Two, Seattle could have reunited PK Subban and Carey Price, and they didn't take either of them either. I'm really not happy with the Seattle expansion draft, to be honest. It was, like, one, really boring, and two, it seemed like they didn't take players that made sense. It was a bunch of people I'd never heard of. Like, yeah. Several people I'd never heard of.
Honestly, the entire time, like, whenever I got notifications, I feel like they just took really young players. Like, no one of... no one crazy. I just feel like they took really young people.
Yeah.
Who, like, looking at their roster, I have no idea who probably half of them are.
Yeah, Mark Giordano was the oldest, born in 83. And then after that, it's like 91 is the next oldest. Brandon Tanev and Yanni Gord and Garen Kroc. So, like, but yeah, there are quite a few 96, 97, 98s in there. So, like, 25, is that right? I should know. Yes, 25. I'm 23, I should know. Born in 98, I should be able to do that math myself. Anyway, but there's yeah, so like, a lot of 23 to 25-year-olds.
There's a 2000s baby.
I think that was the guy they signed. Before they,
I'm not looking at the names, I'm only looking at the thing, but probably,
yeah, I think he was the one they signed beforehand.
Oh yeah, it is.
But yeah, like, it seems like they picked a lot of young people, but they did do something fun, and that was, one, the true big rig, Jamie Oleksiak. Big week, he made some money. His sister won a silver medal yesterday. She still has like 3 more events to go, and she's already tied for the most medals by a Canadian Summer Olympian, and like, it, she is also the youngest, and anyway, she still has lots of events, and she's only 21. Anyway, big week for the Oleksiak family. However, I do think Penny would have preferred he sign in Toronto, just saying. But so one fun thing that Seattle did was they were like, we'll take both Flurries. When I say both Flurries, I should say Cale Fleury and Hayden Fleury, not Marc-Andre. They took the brothers, which is very fun. We like brothers being on the same team. Also, whoever this man calling the, I don't know who it was, but whoever was like doing it, I think it was an ESPN person. It was Dom Moore and someone else. And that other guy was like struggling hard. One, he said Carolina Panthers. Like, no, yep. But that's not right. That's the football team. It's not the hockey team. Two, he was like, I don't know if there's ever been brothers on a team before. Sir, Daniel and Henrik Sedin are twins. They played identical all of their years together. And like, I know that there's others, but it's just the, I don't even know. That wasn't even that long ago. They retired like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. They played all of their professional years together.
Absolute insanity.
Yeah. But then anyway, that man was a mess. Dom Moore was fun. JT Brown, Dom Moore threw a fish at JT Brown and he caught it. Very fun. Also, apparently they didn't even rehearse it. They just did it, and it was so good. Like, such a good catch. Like, had he fumbled it, it probably would have landed on someone in the audience. Would have been funny. But they did, like, really fun things. They had, the first of all, the man, like, this, the man who kept getting things wrong also just kept shitting on teams. He was like, yeah, you know, Detroit, didn't have many, hasn't been too good kind of thing. You know, it's been a long time for the Leafs, like whatever, you know, like that kind of stuff. But it was just the, he kept shitting on everybody and I thought that was funny. But also like they had fun things. So one of the picks, the Detroit pick, they went to the Seattle Aquarium and then they put the name behind the octopus. And when the octopus moved out of the way, you could see who they picked from Detroit. And then they had some football players, basketball players, including Sue Bird, and soccer players from Seattle teams, which was fun. And then they also did this thing where we saw one of the videos for this before. They were throwing, they were at the Pike, I think it's the Pike Market or the Fish Market or something like that. But they have these fish and they throw them around the market. So this guy beside Kevin Weeks gets thrown a fish and you hear Alexander Kerfoot. And this video circulated Twitter the day before the draft and we went, So does that mean, did they do, they had to have done multiple takes, right? Like they had to have done multiple takes, but then the person who DM'd the person, the video was like, no, I was there for like an hour and they only did this one. And then the next day they had a video of Jared McCann circling and we were like, okay, fine, whatever. It could be either, but there was like some really, people were very dumb about it, to be honest. And then the other horrible, absolutely horrible thing that Seattle did was they broke up Nathan Bastian and Michael McLeod, which is just so fucking rude. Why do you even want Nathan Bastian? He's not that good. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be worse without Michael McLeod. I don't know that that's true. I could fully be making that up. However,
it's conspiracy.
However, like Michael McLeod was literally like, please, you gotta draft my friend. And the devil said, sure, we'll do that. And then to break them up like this, unacceptable. Unacceptable. Especially just after Mikey resigns. Unacceptable.
So rude.
And like Mikey on his Instagram story was like posting things that just like made it seem like they were like fully like breaking up. And I was like, guys. Like I think there was it might have been him, it could have been Nate, but one of them posted like, we had some good times, huh? <It's> like, but
I feel like I always knew this day would come. Should have been playing in the background.
So I would like to know who's making the sad fan cam for them, the two of them. Please send it my way if you do. I want to see it. And then, okay, the other thing for the expansion draft was the fact that so they had to submit their list at 10 a.m. so that they could contact the players and let the teams know. But at about, I don't know, I think it was 11:30 or 12, Frank Saravelli just started tweeting out all of the picks. And it was like but no one else was tweeting it, like no one else. And he just kept going for it. He doesn't work for a major network anymore. So I think it was partially in spite, like ESPN, you should have hired me. But also like, why not? He's doing his job. And this way I can mourn earlier.
Yep.
Exactly. But yeah, but the only thing was, I think it was only Detroit. I think we only found out at like 5 p.m. Like it took a really long time to get Detroit's, but part of it was because the player couldn't be contacted. It took them several hours to contact him. Like this man was just off the grid, I guess. But one I wish I could remember who it was, but one player like posted on his Instagram story and then quickly deleted it, but people saw. Like it was just a mess. I don't remember the Vegas draft being a mess, but I also don't remember watching it because like the Leafs had no players that they had exposed.
Yeah.
Like I genuinely could not tell you who the Leafs had exposed because they were not a good team then.
No, I feel like I only really started paying attention to anything Vegas was doing once they were all there and hanging out.
Yeah.
Posting videos of them doing things.
Yeah. That was the other thing they had. Oh, I didn't even talk about the fact that they took Jordan Eberle. First of all, the Islanders exposed Jordan Eberle and protected Matt Martin and Kale Clutterbuck. Kale?
Yeah, Cal.
Cal Clutterbuck. What the fuck? Lou Lamoriello. Two-time GM of the year. Oh my god,
really amazing.
And at one point they like right before the deadline, the roster freeze deadline, like they hadn't signed another defenseman or traded for a defenseman, so they didn't have enough defensemen to expose until like way late, cuz they ended up re-signing Andy Green and exposing him. But like what the fuck? This man is a two-time GM of the year and they're just like, "Yeah, you could have Jordan Eberle for free." For free, $0. Yeah. Just take him from me.
Here he is in a
platter. But I want to keep Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck. Like, I don't think Jordan Eberle's bad. I don't think much has changed since I last watched the Islanders. But he's definitely better than Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even that expensive. Like, cause I remember when I went to look to see if his contract was like ridiculous or really long or anything, and it wasn't. So like, I genuinely do not understand. And not enough people are talking about the fact that they just let him go for nothing. Like, absolutely wild to me. But anyway, they were like touting, they had a few of them around, they had a few of them in Seattle. So Jordan Eberle was one. I think it was Hayden Fleury. Yeah, it's Hayden, not Kale. Mark Giordano, Brandon Tanev. Who was someone else? The goalie. What's his name? Chris Drieger. So they had like the five of them, and they had them like taking pictures, and like some of the pictures, there's this one picture of them, like they have their arms around each other and they're looking off at the sunset on the water. And like, it literally, I tweeted it on my own Twitter. It looks like we took photos at like a sunset at one of my soccer tournaments when I was like 14. And I couldn't find the photo, but I know that we have one where our hands are in each other's pockets, like in our jean short like back pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's what it looked like. But I posted the one where we're all making hearts with our hands, like, yeah. Anyway, that is those vibes, like literally 2012 14 year old girl. Mm-hmm. Vibes. Like, not that different from when you would like put your hands and make a star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not that different from that. It's the same vibes. Yeah, and then Seattle saw we were making fun of it and posted a transparent version for people to edit and like put them in things. So like, people were making them like album covers, like the This Is One Direction cover and like the Weezer covers that are like them just standing there and stuff like that. It was so funny. Anyway, yeah, very funny to me that they just had these people there doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in what is definitely the best news of the week, of the year in hockey, Luke Prokop, who is a signed draft pick of the Nashville Predators. He hasn't played any games yet. I believe he's 19 or 20, has come out as gay, which is super exciting. I'm very happy for him. And like, I read one of the articles about it, and he said it was like a weight off my shoulders. So this kid's, he's going to play so much better this year. And I'm so excited for him. And there was actually like a really big hockey world turnout for him, which is very nice. And the thing is, he told Nashville, like the team, and said, and he was really worried about it, and David Poile and the rest of the Nashville like front office and staff said, we're very happy for you. Basically, that's it. Like, we're really happy for you. Like making it no big deal, which is good, because I think it's going to be hard for him press wise
because
people are gonna be like, oh my god, the first gay NHL player and all that, which is, it's already happening, but like, you know, I think it'll be worse if like he doesn't play well and stuff like that. Yeah, but Poile said he's a very brave young man. It took a lot of courage, and I'm proud that he did that. It's got to be exciting for him for taking this step. This is a big story, and hopefully it helps and encourages others in similar situations. It's a big deal. And it is. And I hope that there are young hockey players who are, you know, more willing to come out. And it hopefully it creates a safer space in hockey. We will talk about that a little bit later. But hopefully it creates a safer space in hockey. And we're so happy for him. But there was one other thing that circulated yesterday, which was his agent got a call looking for, I believe it was the young man on the Predators who just came out as gay was the phrasing. And the agent went, yeah, here's his number. And the person who called Luke was fucking Elton John.
Like, imagine.
Oh my God.
Imagine getting a call from Sir Elton John.
I know. Absolutely. Hello? Wild. Like, and if you're like, why would Elton John care about hockey? I can tell you. Well, I don't know for certain, but like, I know his husband, or I don't know if they're married or not, but his husband or his partner, he's Canadian, and they have a couple different residences in Canada, and when he's done his final tour, they'll be retiring in Canada. So he definitely knows about hockey from that perspective. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably how it came to him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, can you imagine just picking up the phone, like, going, hello? And it's fucking Elton John? Oh my God.
Oh my God. I would have, like, if that was me, I would have peaked at life.
Yeah, and, like literally, I'm done. I don't need to do anything else. I'm good. Elton John has my phone number. He called me. Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Anyway, we are so happy for Luke and really excited to see where his career goes.
Mm-hmm.
I might even have to like Nashville now. We'll see. I'll think about it.
Maybe I'll pay attention. Maybe I won't forget that they exist.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Listen, I got their coach fired and then they were out of my brain.
I forgot about that. And then on to some more trades, because that's what this week was just batshit trades. The Canes traded Ned, I'm not gonna say his name because I butchered it last time, Alex the goalie Ned, to Detroit for Bernier's UFA rights and a 2021 third. So Detroit Stevie Y absolutely fucking fleeced Caroline on that one. Like, Ned, he's like 20, he's in his 20s. Like, he was eligible for the Calder, so he has to be under 25. How old is he? Just turned 25 this year. So, there you go. He's 25. He had a wicked season this year, and it seemed that the Canes didn't want to. He was eligible for arbitration, which means that, like, you go in with a number and the team goes in with a number and the arbitrator picks something kind of in the middle, basically. But Carolina was somewhere at like 1.25 or something, and he wanted like 3.25 or something like that, and they just didn't think that they could get there. And then Detroit immediately went, 2 years, $3 million, how's that sound? And he went, sweet. Because, like, 3.25 is a negotiating tactic. You go a little bit above what you want in order to negotiate down to mm-hmm. what you actually want, right? Like, perfect sense. I can't believe, like, Bernier's UFA rights. So, basically, if Bernier doesn't sign with them, they got a 2021 third round pick for a Calder nominee, Calder finalist. Absolutely insane. Also, why would you even like try and make a trade with Stevie Y? Like, I think they were just like, hey, do you want this player for this? And Stevie went, yeah. Like, I don't think he negotiated at all.
No.
I think he just went, yep, that's good. Cool. like, there was, I wish I'd grabbed the comment, but he said something along the lines of, someone was like, why did you do this trade? And he was like, why wouldn't I? Something like that. Like, it was basically like, are they fucking stupid?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it. That's all I have to say. Don't make trades with Stevie Y. That's how it is. What else? Oh, Shea Weber It sounds like he might be done. He has ankle, foot, and knee injuries. I think I also saw either finger injury too. But Bergevin's phrasing was he won't be back next season and he probably won't be back for his career. So, yikes. So he played through all of these ankle, foot, knee injuries. Absolutely crazy. Hopefully he's okay. He's definitely out for this year though, but hopefully he'll be okay in the future. Where are we? Tyler Pitlick was traded from Seattle to Calgary for a 2022 fourth. Basically this was Seattle's only trade, so they picked Pitlick from Arizona and then traded him to Calgary. I have no idea if this was a good trade or not.
Yeah.
Do you have any analysis on that?
Nope.
Nope. All right. We'll move on then. And then the Rangers traded Buchnevich to St. Louis for Sammy Blaze. And a 2022 second. That's another weird trade. Like, again, a pretty good player for basically like a fourth liner at best. Again, to be able to make space for Gaudreau, which is weird. Anyway, I'm gonna try and fully understand this trade. This isn't the one that confused me, it's the next one. So Oliver Ekman-Larsson was traded with Connor Garland because for whatever dumbass reason that Arizona decided they didn't want him anymore, from Arizona to Vancouver for Roussel, Erickson, Beagle, the 2021 ninth overall pick, a second round pick in 2022, and a seventh round pick in 2023. Arizona retained 12% of OEL's salary. So I looked at this and went, whoa, Arizona's getting a lot of bad contracts there. But then you put it in perspective and you go, OEL's contract is not good either. He is making $8.25 million for, I think, 6 more years. And he's 31, I think? 31? He is 30 years old. So you have him until he is 36 at $8.25 million. The contract is already kind of bad. Like, he's playing below that value. And it's also just Connor Garland's RFA, right? So if you're not able to come to a contract there, you're going to need to trade him somewhere else. So, like, I'm not sure that this, at first I was like, oh my God, Jim Benning made a good trade. He didn't really. He basically made a good trade for 1 year. Like, he gets rid of, I think the net in it was about $4 million without Garland's new salary, because Roussel, Beagle, and Erickson were $12 million together. So, absolutely insane. It's just insane. And Vancouver is not going to like that in the future, I think. No. Barely going to like it right now. Maybe OEL can bounce back for a season or two, but, like, it's still going to be an overpayment regardless. Okay. Now we're on to the Seth Jones trade. And the 32nd overall pick, so the first round pick of Tampa, and the 2022 sixth went to Chicago for Adam Boqvist, the 2021 12th overall pick, so first round pick, and 44th overall pick, so that's the second round. And then a 2022 first round pick. I don't know why, but that was really confusing the first 7 times I saw it tweeted out, because it made it sound like all of those picks were going to Columbus, like including the ones that went to Chicago. It was so confusing. So Seth Jones was a UFA, or not a UFA. I think he has 1 year left on his contract. 1 year left on his contract. Boqvist is younger, I think probably better, but I'm not positive. And like, it just doesn't seem like a good trade. And like, Seth Jones is also not worth that much. Yeah. Adam Boqvist was born in 2000. So he's got a long way to go as a defenseman. You know, take what you got right now. I think this was a good trade from Columbus's point of view. And then to top it off, the cherry on top, Chicago signed him to an 8-year, $9.5 million each year extension. That man is not worth that much money. And if you'll recall, we said earlier, Miro Heiskanen, what did we say he was? 8.45. Miro Heiskanen is 1, already a better defenseman, 2, several years younger, 3, not Trumpy. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I don't know if Miro Heiskanen is, but Seth Jones is fucking annoying. And
yes.
And his mother is horrible. Horrible. Anyway, but now both the Jones brothers, Caleb and Seth, are in Chicago, so I don't have to think about them. If we could just get Dylan Strome out, I would be perfectly set to never think about Chicago ever again. Please.
Mm-hmm.
Please get him out. There's, like, almost any other places better. And then Columbus also acquired Jake Bean for a 2021 second, which I think is a good deal. Jake Bean's a pretty good young player. Again, only 23. I know the 2016 draft, the first 2 rounds, so well. Like, so well. I can just, like, I'm just like, yeah, Jake Bean. Actually, you know what it is? I know that the 2017 World Juniors, I know that team, the Canadian team, very well. That was the vegetable team. Jake Bean, Kale McCarr, Kale Clegg, and Taylor Radish, vegetable team. Anyway. That's why I know that those ones so well. Anyway. So that's a pretty good deal for Columbus, I think. Like, I think Jake Bean's a pretty good young player. I get why Carolina traded him, because he wasn't gonna end up playing, because they're paying Jake Gardner $4 million. And yeah, they just got rid of Hayden Fleury, but they also have Brady Shea on the team and stuff, so you know. All right, on to draft highlights. I didn't know who most of these kids were.
We're gonna
start there. Owen Power went number 1. Yay, fun. Congrats to him. Beignets, I don't remember his first name. Matt, maybe?
Not a question for me.
Matt. Matthew. Matthew Beignets went 2nd overall to Seattle. He's my son now, so because there was an article that said he has 2 older sisters and they went to theater camp every year. So he went to theater camp. So he's a theater kid, and he can play the saxophone and quote sing and dance a bit. So that, like, that is my child now. That is mine. Like, very, like, oh, you know, I just love some good representation. Because, like, that was me in high school. I wasn't a theater kid, but, like, I was a music kid and I played hockey. And, like, I made it all work. Anyway, I love him. And the other thing is, he's, like, he wasn't sure if he wanted to do pre-med or biotech, maybe? Something like that. Like, literally, this kid is smart. He should not be a hockey player. Like, he is too well-rounded to be a hockey player.
Yeah, no,
a men's hockey player. He belongs, like, women's hockey, that's, like, almost normal. Men's hockey, absolutely not. This man is leagues above every single player. Yeah, so this kid is, he's my son now. I'm glad he's on, like, Seattle and not a team I absolutely hate. Yeah, and then I'm sorry to the kid who went at number three. I don't know your name. But at number four, Luke Hughes joins Jack Hughes in New Jersey. And Jack lost his fucking mind. Did you see the video?
Oh my god, this, like, he looked like a robot that got spilled with water. He's like,
yeah, he was like vibrating.
I'm sorry.
Like, Quinn looked excited, but Jack was just positively vibrating. He was like, oh my god, we're gonna be the same team.
We can live together.
Yes, my little brother. Oh my goodness. I just can't breathe this. Sorry. Oh my god. Anyway, and then the other fun thing was, like, me just watching Bob McKenzie tweet out every single draft pick, like, up to the first, like, 15. He quit after, like, 15. He was bored doing it, but, like, he wasn't working the draft show. He was just like, yep, yeah, they're gonna take this person, have to think it's this person, and, like, he just kept getting them right. I think there was maybe two he got wrong in that sequence.
You, like, I feel like people had to call him and be like, hey, this is who we're taking. Like, get your tweet ready.
Like, this tweet man out. Is just, like, he was just chilling at his cottage up north. He had his margarita earlier in the day. He might have been having another margarita. And he was just, you know, vibing, tweeting out all the draft picks. And then, so the theme of one this week, two, maybe just this off season, is family over everything.
Mm-hmm.
We've already talked about the Fleury brothers and the Jones brothers and the Hughes, two of the Hughes. But Chicago also took Kirby Dach's younger brother and Carolina, Colorado, with their last pick in the draft, took Cale Makar's younger brother. And then there was a bunch of, like, oh, and then Arizona took Shane Doan's kid. And then there was a bunch of just, like, former NHL players. Like, they were all just taking them. So Mason McTavish, Ty Boucher. He was picked by Ottawa, and Ottawa already has, like, I think it was five former NHL sons. Like, Ottawa's fully going the Blue Jays route. Like, the Jays have three sons of former MLB players. And, like, this, that's what the Ottawa Senators are doing. They're like, it's in your genes, it's fine. And then Cole Sillinger, Chase Stillman. Where are we? Jackson Blake. Red Savage, and Justin Robidoux. Oh, and Shane LaChance. Sorry, but the Robidoux one made me laugh. I was like, no, you can't pick him, Carolina. Also, Carolina, I think it was also Carolina, they picked Robert Orr. Not Bobby Orr, Robert Orr. Hopefully he's less gross.
So, I want to know if they saw, like, all the other teams were like, wait, like, they just took brothers. Do we take brothers? And I feel like it was just, like, kind of like some inside joke where they're like, well, now, like, we have to do it. We can't break the trend. We have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take the brothers.
And there's a couple thoughts here. One, there's still several stalls around. So, you know, Mark just re-signed with the Red Wings. So another one could go there. But also, apparently the Foligno's were thinking about signing somewhere together. And I think the Leafs need another rehabilitation project. What do you think?
The Nylanders. We need Alex.
Yes! Literally, please. I think that would be so good for him. No, but that's the thing. That would be so good for him because they're already so close. And I think, like, it would be really good. And we already know Chicago's not very good at, like, not super great at developing their draft picks.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah, and, like, he needs to be rescued. So please let us rescue Alex.
It would be good for him. It would be good for me. It would,
it would be so good for William.
Oh, my God.
So good.
It would be great.
I don't know how Rasmus would feel, though.
I think it would be perfectly fine.
I think it would be. I'm sure him and Rasmus were, like, him and Rasmus are, like, bros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
please, Kyle.
Kyle Dubas to be, like,
literally. Should we tweet at him again?
Yeah.
I think last time. He did respond last time.
He did. He did.
We'll try. We'll try later. I'll shoot him a tweet tomorrow morning. I know I'm not the only one. I know a couple people have added him.
Oh, yeah.
The more of us who do it, the more likely he is to see it. Mm-hmm.
How likely? In theory. How likely?
What would Alex Nylander cost? Is the thought process?
Let's see. Let's do some Googling on Alex Nylander. I always forget that he's Alexander, and I always want to call him Alexi. He's not Alexi. I know. Also, do not want his Wikipedia page. Sis.
Okay. They don't have very many mid-round draft picks next draft. I think he would be worth a 2023 third round pick. This is just, I literally have no idea what he makes. I'm just saying things.
He makes nothing, I guess.
Is he a free agent?
What is, okay, oh, is he still on his ELC?
Oh, he's an RFA right now. Trade his rights, Chicago, trade his rights.
Oh, perfect.
Please.
That's amazing. I don't know. Ooh, compare this contract, sure. I don't want to open that. Go away.
Seriously, Chicago, trade his rights.
You know, I want to know who is his number one contract comparable result is. Matty Tkachuk.
That's not right. That can't be right.
I'm sorry. What? It was a 99.3% match.
That's no.
Maybe it was only like their ELC.
Their ELCs?
Yeah.
That would make sense because he doesn't have another contract right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he did play 65 whole NHL games this season.
And I think,
please, Kyle, it would be so good.
It works out perfectly. You can and get him.
They can do it.
They can. And if they don't, when I come to Toronto, I'm busting down the door and I'm saying, hey.
Yeah, let me know. We'll go. We'll just show up. Be like, you need to get Alex.
Save him.
It's just a rehabilitation project.
Exactly. We're really good at that. We gotta save another Alex. We have another Alex to save, and it's not me.
Yeah.
It's a different one.
But it would also save you.
It would save me. It would save me a lot. It would make me very happy. Yes.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page about that. The key is to get Kyle on board. I'm seriously going to tweet at him tomorrow morning.
Oh, you better. Breaking news. Alex Nylander to Toronto. I'm going to break it.
We've broken it already. Kyle just needs to come through on his part.
I know. He's going to do the big boss things.
Yeah, you know, it's his job. or just offer sheet him. Actually, maybe don't offer sheet him. That's a waste of picks, probably. So don't offer sheet him, but trade for his rights. Mm-hmm. We want him.
We do. And I feel like Chicago, you don't need him.
You don't.
You do.
Exactly. We could use some more forwards. Yep. And also, I mean, the Marlies always need players.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also, do you know what I did yesterday? I looked at how much Marley season tickets cost, and then I went, I could afford this. Because I'm making a big girl salary soon.
How much are they?
Season tickets, depending on where the seat is like just under $1,200, I think. I was like, this is reasonable. I could do this.
Honestly?
It's more the fact that right now where I live, it's like a 40-minute drive to the train and then a 30-minute train, which is less efficient. Yeah. But if I do move for my work, then maybe we'll think about it. I might get like, they have like partial season tickets, and I'm like, I could do that. I might do that. We'll think about it. Anyway.
What are we talking about?
We just tangented into just a tad. Just a little bit.
Anyway.
It's been worse. So Cale Makar re-signed for 6 years at $9 million per year. Again, really good contract. It'll be worth it. It's probably already a very good deal for, I was gonna say Seattle.
Oh,
Colorado. It'll be a good deal for Colorado. It's already a good deal for Colorado. And they just drafted his brother, so you know they're set. I don't know what position he plays, but you know, it's his brother. He looks, I looked at a photo of his brother, and he looks much older. He's way less rosy cheeked and like chubby cheeks. Yeah. Taylor Hall signed with the fucking Bruins. 4 years, $6 million. It's a good deal, and I fucking hate it. I hate it. It's just gross.
So rude.
Uh-huh. Sam Reinhart was traded to Florida for Devin Levi and a 2021 first. So Devin Levi was Canada's goaltender at the World Juniors last year. One of them. He played very well. I think that's a good deal for Sam Reinhart, but also, I don't fucking know. But my favorite part of that entire trade, the Panthers now have three of the top four draft picks of the 2014 draft, which is a funny draft to have the top four draft picks from. So they have Ekblad, who went first, Reinhart, who went second, and Bennett, who went fourth. Oh. And then Chicago hired Kelsey Colzer, Bridget Laquette, and another woman as scouts. Laquette will be a pro scout. She was not centralized for the Olympics this year, so she'll have more time to focus on that. And Colzer will remain as head coach of the Arcadia University women's team when she does that. So next, we are going to talk about the Habs situation. So if you do not want to listen to this part, this is the end of the episode then. Please follow us on Twitter at For Puck's Sake Pod, Instagram at For Puck's Sake Podcast, TikTok at For Puck's Sake Pod, and Tumblr at For Puck's Sake Podcast. Take care of yourself.
Trigger warning for domestic abuse / domestic assault and sexual assault.
All right. So, Logan Mayu is an 18-year-old who distributed sexually explicit photos of an 18-year-old woman to his teammates while he was playing in Sweden last year. It's believed she's filed civil charges and he has been fined by the Swedish authorities. When he spoke to the authorities, it said that he said that she was trying to ruin his life. And obviously she said that that's not true. All she wants is a sincere apology. And, you know, obviously, like, something that shows he's grown. When she asked for an apology before saying, like, she would sign, what did it say? File the charges. all she received was a 2-3 line text, and she didn't think that it accurately portrayed any remorse, so she followed through with those charges. And then he released a NotesApp statement after this information had been circulating on Twitter and, like, been noticed, and like, hockey reporters were saying, they tweeted out an article. There were a couple articles. I believe it was Katie Strang had it and Luke Pronman, I think, had the article come out. And it was also said that many teams didn't even talk to him, and many teams said, we're not drafting him. He released a NotesApp statement, which kind of, again, was just, the timing of it makes it seem like it was just to pull away from the notes from the article so that fewer people saw it and, like, read what actually happened. But it was basically saying that he didn't feel he demonstrated enough maturity or character to be drafted and asked to be renounced from the draft. So an important note here is that you can't actually renounce yourself from the draft. Teams can still pick you. And then at the very end of night one, the Habs went and drafted him 31st overall in the first round. It's one above where many people would have placed him because the Habs believed that other people were going to take him, which is a problem in and of itself. And two, it's in the first round. You're rewarding someone who should not be rewarded for the first round. Like he should not have been picked at all. And then you go and pick him in the first round. It's just horrible. And then the Habs immediately released a statement that said, we can help him learn and grow. They can't. One, no. They don't have the infrastructure to be able to do that. No hockey team has the infrastructure to be able to do that. And then they've also shown their colors as an organization. We know what the Habs organization under Bergevin and also probably Jeff Molson, who is the owner, care about. So they ran PK Subban out of town for character issues. They were interested in domestic abuser Voinov. They hired domestic abuser Sean Burke. I believe that was just last year. And Bergevin was part of the 2010 Chicago team as a director of player personnel and claimed no knowledge of the abuse that happened there. So that is the other major story that's been circulating with Chicago that we didn't feel comfortable or knowledgeable enough to speak about. In addition to that, they thought about acquiring Tony DeAngelo before he was basically shoved off the Rangers last year, and he was put on waivers yesterday. So they still have the opportunity to acquire him if they decide to do that, which again shows their colors. And they made Alex Galchenyuk apologize for being a distraction when he was a victim of domestic violence. And related to that was what happened was, like, he, with the Alex Galchenyuk situation, Devontae Smith-Pelly called the police, and he was also traded for perpetuating the distraction or something like that, which is horrible. So we know what this organization is like. We know what Marc Bergevin is like. And this just goes down to the fact that none of the people, that one, hockey culture is absolutely horrible, and there is no accountability for actions like these. And it's also, we know that no one involved with that 2010 team can, the Chicago 2010 team can claim no knowledge, and two, they shouldn't have jobs. They should be at least suspended until this court case is done, which includes Stan Bowman, who I kind of want to talk about that as well. It's a little bit less related, but, like, the fact that this all happened on the same day and Chicago drafted right after them, where Chicago had been touting around these women, I believe they had 9 women in their front office now, and they were touting around these women, and it's basically, I feel like they're just using them as props. It's a diverse group of women. Like Bridget Laquette is Indigenous and Kelsey Colzer is Black. And they're just touting these women. They had these 9 women standing in the room with him when they're literally, like, in a court case about, there's actually 2 separate court cases, but about abuse that happened under their watch and that they did not do anything to prevent or to help the victims. Which, again, like, how can you support having, how can the woman in your department have any support if this is how you've treated the men who were abused as well? Like, it's a horrible situation. So I don't know what I'm trying to say. The Habs shouldn't have drafted him. No one should have drafted him. He shouldn't have been drafted. He said he didn't feel mature enough, but also that was just a statement when he spoke to the media yesterday. He said, I didn't feel mature enough, but they've had things in place. And even, I think it was either his agent or a member of the Habs talking to reporters and said, yeah, he's seeing a lady psychiatrist. Why is lady an important thing to note there? It's not.
Nope.
It literally just makes you look bad. And like, yes, it's good he's seeing someone, but also like, it's not a mistake. That was intentional and it was harmful. So we are sending our love and our thoughts to the victim and her family. This is a horrible time for her, and I'm really sorry that she has to go through this. She really shouldn't have to. And we just want to say, believe victims and hold perpetrators accountable. And hockey needs to be better at doing that, all levels. And if this has negatively affected you, please take care of yourself. We are thinking of you. That's it for this episode. We'll talk to you later.